It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Greetings to you and welcome to the show. So glad you could join us today. On our show, our guest today is Dr. Pravin Shah. Dr. Shah is the medical director of Hoag Heart Valve Center and also heads up the non-invasive cardiac imaging and academics program at Hoag Heart and Vascular Institute. He's also directed more than 50 educational programs for the American College of Cardiology and travels extensively on the lecture circuit as well. That's an impressive resume. We are very glad to grab you for a few minutes today, Dr. Shah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, the topic at hand is valve disease. If you saw House last week, one of the patients was trying to choose between a plastic valve and a pig valve for her upcoming surgery. Of course, that's a TV show, and people in real life has the very real choices they have to make. Now, when consulting with your heart patients, do you suggest one kind of valve over the other, or is every situation absolutely unique?
Yeah, I think that we generally make recommendation based on individual needs of the patient. Let me expand that a little bit. For instance, if a patient is an older individual, by that I mean someone over the age of 65, mm-hmm. we would strongly recommend a tissue valve if a valve needs to be replaced. If a valve can be repaired, that's our first option.
Okay.
And not all valves can be repaired. The mitral valve, which is on the left side of the heart, mm-hmm. Between the upper and lower chamber, that valve more often than not can be repaired.
Great.
The tricuspid valve, which is on the right side of the heart, mm-hmm. between upper and lower chamber, that valve also is commonly repairable.
Okay.
The aortic valve, which is the outlet valve that takes the blood to the whole body, that valve is most often not repairable. It's only repairable in rare instances. So if you're talking about aortic valve, then we give an option of a mechanical or a tissue valve.
Mm-hmm.
If a person is older than 65, we almost always recommend a tissue valve.
Okay.
And because older people can tolerate not rejecting a tissue valve for 20 or 25 years in 90% of cases.
Now, when you say older, do you mean over 50 or over 70? Or
this is 60, 65.
Okay.
If you are 40 or 50-year-old, mm-hmm. then chances that your tissue valve will last more than 10 or 15 years becomes more or less like 50-50 proposition.
Okay.
So there is a good chance if you have to come back for a second open-heart surgery if you take a tissue valve when you're younger.
Okay. Well, that's what they're saying the chances that you will have to have another surgery if you do choose the tissue valve, that outweighs the complications with the artificial valves, correct?
Well, it's a choice because some people cannot tolerate taking blood thinners, Coumadin.
Mm-hmm.
Because Coumadin, if you have a mechanical valve, you have to have Coumadin. It has to be regulated carefully.
Okay.
Its dose has to be precise, and laboratory tests have to be done frequently. And there could be complications of blood thinners, obviously.
Okay.
Now, if that's on one side of the equation. On the other side of the equation, if you're a younger person, if you get tissue valve,
mm-hmm.
there are good chances. By younger, I mean younger than 60. There are good chances that you would have to go back for another surgery 5 or 8 or 10 or 15 years down the road. Now the other possibility on the horizon is the fact that we are working with percutaneous delivery of prosthetic valves,
mm-hmm.
so that we may be able to put in a tissue valve now, and within, by the time a person is ready for another operation, we may be able to put another valve through the catheter instead of open heart surgery, a valve-in-valve solution, as it is called. So they're working on that. That's currently in the works, and I'm pretty confident that in less than 10 years, it'll become a more or less a standard procedure.
That will be wonderful, and it certainly speaks to my question, what do today's artificial valves have over older ones? Well, they have it all over, if that's the case.
Yeah, artificial valves today, particularly tissue valves, the new generation tissue valves, produced by whatever manufacturer, the newer generation ones, the ones that have been developed in the last 15 years or so, mm-hmm. have a much longer lifetime inside the heart than the previous generation. Previous generation used to calcify early and used to get fibrotic and would start leaking. Mm-hmm. And that would happen at 5 years, 7 years, sometimes as early as 3 or 4 years. So in the previous generation, we used to be disappointed with tissue valves. So we tended to go towards mechanical. Now we tend to go more towards tissue because the newer generation tend to last in all about 10, 15 years. And during that time, a lot of science progress is taking place.
And if your valve starts to leak, what kind of symptoms would you have?
Well, first of all, a lot of leakage can occur without any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is where we say that a routine evaluation is careful, a careful evaluation is required, because symptoms occur late. They occur when the pumping chamber, the left ventricle, which is the pumping chamber, mm-hmm. it gets overloaded and it's not able to function as well.
Okay.
So when that happens, you get congestion in your lungs and you get shortness of breath. If the amount of blood flow going through the aortic valve is reduced, you get dizzy spells, or you may get a little lightheaded. You may get tired, fatigued easily. Things like that can happen, but they occur late. They are not early signs.
I understand. Okay. I'm wondering if in a lot of the elderly population, that dizziness and the lightheadedness they have on a daily basis might be related to valves.
Some of them could be. Not obviously all, because there are many, many causes of lightheadedness.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them could be a leaky valve, no question about it, or a very narrow valve, extremely stenotic, where the blood flow doesn't go to the body easily. See, dizziness is, and fainting commonly occur when the blood flow does not reach the brain.
Okay.
And so that can, and many causes do that, including drop of blood pressure and a variety of stuff. But I think the more important is that patient who has any issues or questions ought to have evaluation of the valve just to be sure.
Okay. Now, in the olden days, rheumatic fever was the single biggest cause of valve disease. Today, it's most commonly linked with coronary artery disease, CAD, heart attack, or an infection in the lining of the heart's walls and valves, or even a weakening of the valve tissue caused by energy changes in the body. Now, some people have valve disease and don't even know it since they have no symptoms. In other cases, the patient may develop congestive heart failure. What else can valve disease lead to?
Well, valve disease can lead to a secondary infection on the valve.
Mm-hmm.
When the valve is diseased, it gets thickened, it gets abnormal, and if the infection bacteria lodge into the bloodstream, then they can find seeding on the diseased valve, and that can complicate matters quite a lot.
Okay.
Now, besides that, valve disease also results in irregular heartbeats, palpitations.
Okay.
And so that is another issue. The heart failure, congestive heart failure, is a late development. Initially, shortness of breath, particularly when you're exerting that you could do 6 months earlier, but now you can't. For instance, you could try to go 3 flights of stairs, now barely 1 flight and make short of breath.
Sure.
That kind of change is very important not to ignore, because that would be the early sign of congestion.
Also, blood clots, did you mention that?
The blood clots can occur as a result of not directly from the valve disease, but when there is irregular heartbeat, like atrial fibrillation.
Mm-hmm.
If there are atrial fibrillation, then the clots can form inside the chamber of the heart and can then go into the body and develop things like stroke or TI or transient attack or clot somewhere else. But valve alone usually does not produce blood clots by itself.
Okay.
But it's a secondary to the fibrillation, atrial fibrillation.
Okay. We have time for about one more question. Is there anything that you, specific information you want to get out to people today?
Well, I think that all surgeons will tell you they can repair the valve.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to do some homework and find out which centers really end up repairing valves more frequently than not, meaning 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the mitral valve.
Okay.
At our institution here, our success rate repairing mitral valves is 97%.
Wow.
All comers. Our oldest patient that we repaired was 87 years old, and the youngest patient was 23 years old. So all ages and all comers for mitral valve can be repaired. So you have to be careful not to just go because the surgeon says, yeah, I'll try to repair the valve. If I can't, I'll replace it. I think you have to know what their results are rather than go purely on uninformed information.
Excellent advice.
That's the big message I would give.
Do your homework. Today we've been talking with Dr. Pravin Shah about valve disease. And coming up, we're going to discuss some of the latest options for diagnosis and treatment. Thank you so much, sir, for your time.
You're welcome.
Remember to share this excellent information with your friends. Stay tuned for much, much more ahead. I'm Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio.